were expecting Hannah Brown to break into song there, but she held herself back. Very gamefully, Hannah, it has to be said. Online now, we have a fabulous singer-songwriter who's making her programme debut, Junie Johnson. How are you, Junie?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Delighted to touch base with your good self. Now, we're about to listen to something which I think is extraordinarily timely when it comes to the season, when it comes to activity and so on. And you'd be pleased to know that we actually have a team of a little over 11 people who will all give their views various times on what they're about to hear. So no pressure, Junie, but I know you can handle this.
You know, it'll
work well. Would you like to just set the scene before we pop those proverbial bottles? Tell us what it's all about.
Yes, definitely. So my name's Junie, and I'm a singer-songwriter based in London. And the song you guys are about to hear is a song written by myself, and it's called Pop the Bottles, and I hope you enjoy it.
It will be sensational. Junie Johnson, Pop the Bottles. Here we go. One of Junie's first ever performance experiences was when she signed a management deal with UK Unsigned several years ago. After auditioning, she then had the opportunity to tour and perform at some of the UK's most prestige venues. As a young girl, Junie would sing at school in her local church choir. Junie's music is very much a flavour of rhythm and blues and pop. Hannah Brown, what did you make of Junie Johnson?
It was very different. Me and Tessa were at the back of the studio having
getting
a
on down.
Dance. Yeah, having a little dance back there.
Wonderful. Lewis?
I thought it was really catchy. It's definitely the sort of music that I would listen to, so I'll have to give that a download.
Fantastic. Tessa?
I really enjoyed that. Hannah was right. We was dancing at the back there.
You were popping those bottles.
We were.
If we had them, in a metaphorical sense. Martina?
I really liked it. It was very upbeat.
Natasha?
Yeah, I thought it was really well named. It just starts popping even the beat just as you turn it on.
Clearly. Jason, clearly the theme for the next staff meeting for English and Journalism.
Absolutely. I think we'd have to have this on a Monday morning just to get us in the mood.
Linda Hewitt, ace culinary expert.
Yep, two thumbs from me.
Two?
My hips were wiggling. I liked it.
When Linda's hips are wiggling, it's a whole new world.
It was all moving.
Well, that's good.
Ace author Sam Stone.
Well, that's definitely got me in the mood for Christmas partying.
Oh, and TARDIS Christmas wearing T-shirt man, David J. Howe.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Daft Punk's All Around the World, strangely. I quite liked it.
Good.
It's very disco kind of song, I
Solid
think.
Disco there. And Ben Lewis from Brighton. Will it go down in Brighton?
It went all right, yeah. I didn't hear much of it, I'm not going to lie, because I've just been trying to hide the results.
I think overall it's thumbs up for your tremendous scenario. Now, we were talking earlier about the whole Simon Cowell scenario. Did Simon learn anything from your good self, Junie? And have you managed to actually set him on his right way?
Well, I'm waiting for my call to be one of the judges on X Factor. Definitely waiting for that call. But yeah, it was fun, that experience. I'm sure you're referring to my last year's experience of on the judging panel with him on the Extra Factor on ITV2. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I mean, how can I put Simon in his ways, you know?
Well, you must try. Somebody has to. I mean, the fact of the matter is he was seeking to actually be a judge for the Bake Off competition. We said, no, Professor Jason Whittaker's got you beaten hands down. You know, that's the line.
Oh, really? Yes,
and I've never heard Jason ever use the words, stop wasting my time. You know, only the time he probably would have wanted to, but you never have.
Don't push me, Alex.
Sam, any questions?
It went really well, that particular... filming. Yeah, it was good fun. Okay. Yeah, fantastic. So, yeah.
Junie, what's your own personal favourite music?
What do I like personally? Yes. I like R&B. R&B kind of R&B. Dance, soul, neo-soul. Mm. Yeah. Like a little bit of reggae, lovers rock.
And let's be honest, Junie, you've been invited to attend the 59th Grammy Awards, which will take place next year in the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Plus, you're also have been invited to attend the Universal Grammy Party, courtesy of the record label from Los Angeles. So you must be looking forward to that.
Correct.
Although,
I'm looking forward to that.
Doesn't sound old enough to be a Grammy.
Yes, thank you, David. You've got to excuse David J. Howe. He's more a Doctor Who fan than a music fan, okay? It's important. He's a publisher. Grammys and grannies sometimes. Around,
they
of course.
Do clash.
They do. For Junie Johnson. Hooray! Now, before
thank
we go
you.
Over to Greece, where we'll be speaking to Alex Putamianos with the music of Natural Right, I think we're almost at the stage where I believe, Linda, we have a possible announcement here.
Yes.
Ben is the man who's actually got Ben who's so excited the microphone was almost taken to one side on that sort of basis there. Junie, we'll say farewell to your good self for the moment and hopefully catch up with you in 2017.
Thank you so much for inviting me on the show and have a good evening, everyone. Bye.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
There
bye, Junie.
So farewell to Junie Johnson and a quick hello to Ben once again. Now, the reason is we've played this right from the off. We wanted to ensure that you were dealing not with personalities, because let's face it, once the midweek drivettes try to turn on their particular sort of judging factors, you don't know what kind of scenarios could be actually happening. So we step away from that. Anonymous entries, numbers only, what have we actually decided? Because ultimately, we need the midweek drivettes to remember which cake they actually baked.
Okay.
Oh, you baked them?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise.
Yeah, I stopped on the competition.
Oh, I should have known that. Oh, I didn't realise. Okay, sorry. God, so this is
why would you
now.
Have been open to bribes?
I thought they'd come from just anywhere on the university.
No.
I thought it was just random entries from people.
Yeah, we could have had those, but we decided no, it would add to the piquancy and have the whole scenario.
Oh,
so, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It was selective entry
and it's
only.
These young ladies here. Mm-hmm.
There we are.
Wow.
With Sue Rice, who seems to have left the studio. Has she gone singing in the choir? Yeah. She's singing in the choir. Right. Okay. So obviously, if it's Sue's cake, we don't know who.
But there were six cakes.
There were six.
So,
yes. Okay.
Carry on. What was the one that effectively is so strong it's held up the others?
As in, you want the winner?
No.
As in the sixth place one.
Oh, sixth place. Sorry.
We want the tiger bait first.
Okay.
Sometimes, Ben. Much as I love.
I just wanted
relations.
To. I was just reiterating what you were asking. That was all. Merely reiterating.
Just good to be clear.
Okay.
You're drawing the tension. You've done a really good job. Good.
Okay. In sixth place.
Don't get to pause for a long time.
We had the pie. The apple pie.
It's the apple. Kelvin, come back with the apple pie. Could it be Martina Vieca? Yes. Is indeed.
I think we need to mention here that a little bit of congratulations. I am somebody with lots of smarties, because
I think she saved herself a lot of kitchen stress and went out and bought that one.
Nice, nice.
And I think that has to be congratulated, subtle, frankly. Yeah. Yep.
And that is what
she
you
had
call
better things to do.
Bringing, well, bringing. Yeah. The
sorry, I don't want to poison you.
Thank you.
I think Martina, we have a winner. Martina, actually.
Come back briefly once again,
oh, never
because
been trouble now.
How does this compare with the kind of cake you would bake in Szczecin in Poland?
How does that compare?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of this, because presumably you've tasted this before you decided, yeah, I'm going to go for this, basically. I'm going to take the easy option and sort of purchase the whole thing as opposed to ingredients.
Well, it's not bought. I don't know. I don't know, really.
And no fish in the pie at all, obviously. No carb. Anything, any sort of comments about that in terms of, what were the sort of key aspects of that, Linda, that you sort of...
The pie looked very neat. It was uniform. It had an even bake. But it was very obviously, should I say, mass-produced as opposed to an individual artisan cake.
Yeah.
But it was a good balance of flavour. Yeah. The pastry wasn't too thick.
And to be fair, in the terms and conditions...
It was a good pie.
We never said you couldn't just buy a cake
exactly,
and bring it
in. Exactly, and I think that's why I say, I think you should be congratulated on not stressing yourself.
Exactly. You should congratulate Morrison.
initiative there, and so on. So, well done. Excellent.
It's kind of homemade, but in someone else's home and with 57,000 other pies all exactly the same.
I don't think you can tag home with that pie.
Somebody might live there.
No. I've seen the industrial mechanisms that go into pie making.
Home for robots.
Home for robots.
Yes.
Martina,
yes.
Your first ever pie competition. Well done. That's congratulations.
Yes.
Well done.
And a ripple.
And well done for remembering. So in fifth position.
In fifth position, we have the Lemon Star Biscuits, I believe.
Biscuits. It's Hannah Brown. She's put her little hand up and said, Hannah, come to the microphone, explain the notion of the Lemon Star Biscuits, the cookies which you've worked strongly on, even to the extent you had to turn down a trip to Treasure Island to just get on with the baking.
Well, no, I didn't turn down the Treasure Island. That was because of Harry Potter Society.
Well, there we
but
are.
I turned down spending an extra day on my print essay to bake there. So I'm having a long day tomorrow for that one. But
biscuits looked lovely and they had good crisp. Whoa. And they were decorated beautifully. The only thing was, because they were stars, each point was a little overbaked compared to the centre. So that's how they fell down the
points. In terms
the
of flavour,
system.
They were delicious.
They were
excellent.
Nice biscuits.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What they would make terrific tree decorations because they were very pretty and very uniform.
Yeah.
A round of applause for Hannah and her tree biscuits. Which also, win-win, gives Woody Allen another title for the sequel to Hannah and Her Sisters, Hannah and Her Tree Biscuits. Which, yeah, worth sort of considering.
Is that the Irish follower?
That's the Irish fellow.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure enough, me lucky charms.
The tree biscuits.
I see what you did there, Jason.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. In fourth position.
Fourth position, we have the walnut cake.
Ooh. It's the walnut cake. Yeah. It's our Les from Nottingham. It's Natasha Armstrong. Natasha, come to the microphone, please. And the feedback, because we always believe in feedback. It is a university of education and all sorts of other things that Siren FM is based in. So good positive
massive
feedback.
Massive thumbs
positive.
Up. I think everyone will agree. We loved the taste of it.
Yeah.
Taste sensation. And it was genius to have carrot in there because it held the moisture. The crumb was excellent. A little bit overbaked on the outside. Didn't win it because overall appearance, and we were including that as well. But tastetastic. Well
and
done.
You mentioned good. As well in there the topping.
Oh yes, the topping, the layers. There was a topping, the sponge, and then the centre layer. So it was all very moist, beautiful, and it was well proportioned. And the topping was rather
lovely.
Scrummy, wasn't
it? Lovely, yeah.
So what did you have in your topping? Talk us through that.
Well, I'm allergic to buttercream, so I tend to bake more carroty cakes because then I can get the cream cheese frosting, which I can eat, my topping. My cake, I'm really pleased you picked up on how moist it was because I don't use butter. I tend to use vegetable oils to try and keep the moisture in it.
And it was a lovely soft crumb. And the topping, lovely, because I don't have a sweet tooth, and that was a lovely balance of flavour.
Yay!
Well done.
So we've identified half of the entrance. Don't go any further, Ben, because we need to actually hold it there. We're going to head to Greece, we're going to sort out various other things. It does mean that the winner of the Midrik Dyer Cake-Off looks as though it's a three-way race now between Sue Royce, the Snart Sisters, and...
Do we have a third one? Is there? Oh, no, there's five.
Drum roll.
And little Bridget Rice. Little Bridget Rice has put what is so it's the Rices versus the Snarts. It could be Civil War, the next incarnation. We don't know what's going to happen. We will be going to Greece after this. Paulina Jane, love's going to always win. Splendid stuff there. You're listening to Siren FM. It's 5 minutes past 6 o'clock. And we have a studio comprised of David J. Howe, Sam Stone, Ben Lewis, Linda Hewitt, Professor Jason Whittaker, Lois Snart, Tessa Snart, Hannah Brown, Sue Rice, Natasha Armstrong, Martina Vieca, and...
A partridge in a pear tree.
I would have said that, but I would have also said Ryan Jones as well. Splendid stuff there. And online at present, not Greece, because Greece has not been returning our calls. So never mind, Natural Right, we'll have to step aside for a few moments. But we're going to Edinburgh, aren't we, William Coles?
Good evening. Nice to join your Christmas party.
Yeah, well, we like to feel that it is the kind of Christmas festivity scenario. One of two, actually, because we're also going to be recording a Stone Tapes Christmas-themed special with all sorts of horrors coming up afterwards, which you'll be able to hear around about Christmas week. It'll be going out from that point of view. It's a strange and somewhat scary show from that perspective. Also outside, we've got the choir, who will be singing for you in a few moments as well, a version of Silent Night, Doon the Lean, or Doon the Line to you. I don't know why I'm even trying an accent at this stage. And why I mentioned Hogmanay, I don't know. But William... when would you like to actually find out who has won the Bake Off? We've already had the first sort of scenarios here. We've had 6th, 5th and 4th, which has actually gone to Martina Vieca, Natasha Armstrong and Hannah Brown. Not necessarily in that order, but, you know, a good sort of solid sign from that perspective. That will be a prize for everyone because they're all sorted through with that. We've got the top three coming through. Would you like to sort of tease ahead for that, or would you like us to reveal it now? It's really up to you.
No, I want a teaser, please. Give me the teaser.
We got teas. I mean, Linda, any sort of way in which you can tease for this sort of thing?
Well, the standard is very high. Mm-hmm. We have we've talked about Fabulous Little Stars, and we have had a taste sensation. So things can only get really high quality now. That's all I'm going to say. But while I've got you on the other end of the phone, William, I'm just going to remind you that I'm on your dance card for coming up for the tour of edgy coffee shops. I don't know whether you remember that.
I haven't forgotten. Do, yes.
Ah, you do remember. Good, good.
No, of course I remember it very well. You're the cook.
Yes.
Looking forward to it. Just as soon as A.A. Luchuk gets his act together and actually brings the team up here. But, you know, he does a lot of talking, but where are the trousers, Alex?
Donald, where's your trousers?
I'm glad to say they are on.
I always believe in wearing trousers for broadcasting. It's the way I was brought up.
It's the rest of your clothes you need to.
I think it's getting way too personal. Can you tell us a little bit about Hogmanay? Because I've got something an idea for leftover haggis.
Leftover haggis. I mean, well, haggis isn't that great, even when it's, you know, sort of first over. Hogmanay is largely about getting completely hammered, so far as I can tell, and they take about 3 days over it, 2 days to recover from it. And it's sort of the party season has already started, and so we're going to 1-2 parties a night at the moment. We know how to do it.
Surely it takes a full 25 days to recover from Hogmanay just in time for Burns Night and the haggis.
Well, haggis is always the best with whiskey anyway, isn't it? Isn't it, William?
So what is your top tip for leftover haggis? Is it chuck it in the bin?
No, scoop it ever so carefully and gently into a massive field mushroom and roast it in the oven, and it comes out fabulous.
Oh, I'd like that.
Taste sensation, very savoury.
Okay, so,
maybe
so let's
a little
just
sprinkle
test
cheese
this a little. Martino, just come forward with yourself. Have you ever encountered the notion of haggis? I mean, I know you switched from Stettin in Poland to the delights of Bury St Edmunds, and why haven't they yet? But anyway, what haggis?
No, I haven't.
No
first
idea
I'm
whatsoever. Right, and Natasha, haggis?
Obviously, I've heard of it. I've never had the pleasure of tasting it yet.
Yeah. I always feel sorry for the sheep, personally. Sue?
Oh, absolutely. Haggis is one of my favourite things, particularly Burns Night. Eating it on Burns Night with a nice single malt. Yes, yeah. I'll have some of that. I'll have your portion.
You really.
Look, Tessa, from the delights of the Snart family in a little place called Glinton, just outside Peterborough. Haggis?
I know exactly what it is, but I don't think I've tried it. I don't think I've actually ever tried
let's
it.
Let's go for your sister Lois as well.
No, I haven't.
And Hannah?
I've had it once before. I can't really remember much. I just know I have eaten it once. I remember eating it and know what it tastes like.
Ryan, haggis?
No.
It's a quiet taste, I think. But Linda, your mushroom sort of based haggis looks as though it could be a winner.
You've got to have it with neeps and tatties as well.
Oh, yes.
Have some neeps and tatties.
Well, there you have it. Stay with us, William, because we're going to be coming back with the choir, who I think are beginning to assemble outside. So we have another little switch round in the studio, and to take us round to that from probably one of the best musicals ever.
Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky tonk monkey shines. Or you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My grandpa said go out and tell 'em a joke, but give it plenty of hope. Make 'em roar, make 'em scream. Take a fall, but a wall split a seam. You start off by pretending you're a dancer with grace. You wiggle till they're giggling all over the place. And then you get a great big custard pie in the face. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Or you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh.
Ed, one's beginning to feel as though you're beginning to take the Michael here. How many people do we have in the studio now?
It's roughly, I think we've got about 30 in the choir here. My maths was never that good.
But and what, Gary Stevens and Sue North as well. It's just astounding, really.
Well, if we ask them to say Happy Christmas on the count of three, then our listener can tell us how many people they
and
think.
And let's say that that listener is William Coles, because he's listening intently over this. So it's Happy Christmas to William.
Shall we try it then?
Happy Christmas, William!
Oh, when they ad lib like that, you know?
It was very effective. It was that pause, William, you know? It could have been William Sitwell, it could have been William Coles. It's extraordinary. I mean, William, I'll close the microphone channels down so you can actually reciprocate if you wish from Edinburgh, please.
Happy Christmas, team!
Thank you.
That's what we wanted. Okay, and we're about to perform, Ed, another delight. But before then, would you like to share where people can actually find out about the Lincoln University Choir and so on and so forth?
Well, we have a Facebook page, mm-hmm. and we have a Twitter. I think it's named Siren F. No, what's it? What is it called?
The Twitter handle is UOL Choir.
So now you know. But more importantly, in real life, we meet on a Thursday evening each week for an hour at 6:30, mm-hmm. and we learn music together. And that music after Christmas will be the Schubert Mass in G.
Superb.
And some music by Vaughan Williams. Now, it's a university choir by name, but it is a choir for everybody in Lincoln.
I've always been partial to Schubert's Tickling Trout, personally, but that's a different line. carry on.
All these lines. So it's for you... There you are. You see, every Thursday evening at 6:30, if you've got nothing else to do, come and join the Lincoln University of Lincoln Choir.
Are we ready for Silent Night?
I wasn't doing well there, was I? Let's sing instead. So here is a B flat.
Silent Night, Holy Night, Mother and child, oh.
Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born.
Is William?
Well, it's fantastic. I don't want to hear another carol all year because nothing will top that.
Yeah, that sums it up. Perfection in incarnate in so many ways. Ed, you're going to take the team now for one last little mini break before you come back for our next Los Angeles connection. And what will we be hearing then?
What should we do? Gaudete, I think, which is quite a rhythmic carol.
Perfect sense.
Dating
sure.
from the 16th century, in fact.
It's before taken America even decided to declare its independence.
Been practicing this one for 400 years, almost.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. There we are. We would ask you all individually, have you had a reasonably interesting time when you return, but it would take too long because we'd be into tomorrow if we did that. So, brilliant stuff. And we will see the choir again in about 20 minutes from now. 25 minutes. There you go. William, have you had a reasonably interesting link with us on the programme today?
I've had a fantastic time. It's not often that I get to talk to you when you've got all your listeners in one room.
Yeah, well, you know, every so often, you know, conquering the world one person at a time. Very, very, you know, step by step. That's the important thing. So will you be returning?
Yeah, love to. Anytime.
Excellent. Happy Christmas to William. Happy holidays. Up next, hopefully, Hayley McKay.
I feel it in my bones. It's so hard to let you go. Don't want to be alone. Don't want to be alone. We've gone our separate ways and we've nothing left to say. Don't want to be alone. Don't want to be alone. We were chasing a melody that refused to stay in key. Words go unspoken, promises broken. Our love was based on a memory. We were chasing a fantasy. Words go unspoken, promises broken. Can we put this song to rest? Stop this beating in my chest. Don't wanna be alone. Don't wanna be alone. Frozen head to toe. It's so hard to let you know. Don't wanna be alone. Don't wanna be alone. We were chasing a melody. Chained by you, chained by you.
Chained by you.
Not only an extraordinarily talented individual, but also from Darlington, or to the natives, Darlow in Northern England. It's Hayley McKay. Hayley, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Delighted to touch base with your good self. We're just going to go around the assembled team to find out what they made of that wonderful piece of music that was, of course, entitled The Joys of Unstoppable, or rather Unspoken, I should say. Let's get the title right. Sir Rice. Sir Rice, what did you make of it?
I like that. That was very catchy. It's nice and light, something good to easy listening. I like that.
Natasha.
Yeah, I think you've got a wonderful voice and you've got a really powerful, powerful voice as well. It's nice to have that combination. It can be fluffy and yet it can also be very strong.
Fluffy and strong, Hayley. That's always impressive. Hannah.
I also enjoyed it. I agree with everything that's already been said. Yeah, it was a very nice song.
That's what, it's the sort of thing that you expect in terms of quality from that point of view. Jason Whittaker.
I'd say the voice actually was what hooked me. Yeah, fantastic voice.
And Linda Hewitt.
I very much enjoyed it. Quite a unique voice. Kind of almost like some of the Irish singers. I liked it.
Any sort of Irish in the Darlington background there, Hayley?
I like Irish music. I like country music. So, I don't know, maybe.
It all connects together. Sam Stone.
I thought that was absolutely stunning and it's just my kind of music. I loved it.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
David J. Howe.
It was all right. It's good.
I appreciate we're going through the entire citizenry of Lincoln and the North East.
So He's got a phone book there.
It's all good for that point of view. Lois Knott.
Yeah, I thought you have a beautiful voice and I would definitely listen to that song again.
And Tessa?
I thought it was both gentle and powerful. It was really nice.
It's all very positive. And Ben?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really nice. Thank you very much.
So, you're only 25, Hayley, and what have you been doing in 2016 so far? Just share with us.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic year. So I supported Tom Jones in the Isle of Man, supported Martha Reeves and Vandellas. That was really good fun. And Scouting for Girls, I recently did a gig up at Tan Hill. It's the highest pub in England. And it was definitely snowing, so quite a few people had to stay there overnight. I think the band might have had to as well. So that was fantastic. I like to do gigs that are kind of, you know, a bit different, and it's a whole experience that goes with it. So, you know, the different kind of venues and the people that make the gig as well. So it's been a great year. I've been recording. I've been writing a lot with different people. I moved down to London, but I also go up north to my hometown to gig, and I do a bit of vocal coaching as well. So everything I do is related to music. And I think next year is going to be an even busier year because I've got lots of new music to come out and I'm so excited to share it all, really. So I've been working hard.
All northeast girls do, Hayley. It's a point of order, I've always said. I mean, Jason might still be yet to discovering the delights of Harrogate. It'll happen one of these days.
One of these days.
Exactly. Linda, you were punching the air when Tom Jones was mentioned there.
Well, no, it was the Isle of Man thing.
Oh, the Isle of Man as well.
Yeah, you were supporting Tom, who still can belt out a tune, can't he?
Oh, yeah, he's really powerful and great stage presence. The Isle of Man, I'd never been there before. And it was a massive tent that I was performing in, and it was a great experience. Isle of Man, I think everyone on the Isle of Man was at that gig that night.
That'll be about 80,000 people, yeah. That's the whole of the Isle of Man. Was it at the Villa Marina where they had the big marquee?
It was Nobles Park.
Oh, Nobles Park, marvellous. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Terrific.
And pray tell, where did you shoot the video for Unspoken? Because it looks like some godforsaken part of the country where you sort of think, don't do it, Hayley. Don't wander into the sea. It's all too much.
That looks like Embleton.
Yes, you're born in Skegness, Sue. So, you know,
I can see the Farne Islands as well.
Godforsaken. It's a beach, Alex. It's a beach.
Yeah, I'm a city boy.
Give him skyscrapers and oil.
Indeed. Sorry, Hayley, where was it?
So it was in Northumberland, based, you know, sea houses.
Ah, indeed.
A really nice park, yeah. And the beach, it was just behind Bamborough Castle.
It's a huge stretch, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful. And we got up super early and it was absolutely freezing. I think I had cold in my leg for about a week afterwards.
I'm not surprised. You've got big holes in your jeans, love.
Well, exactly. Slave to fashion, you know. You can do the performance, but you've got holes in the jeans. Tough call.
Well, it was very cold, and we even had survival blankets with us, which was quite funny.
It was worth it, though. You're suffering for your art because it looks wonderful, and it suits the music.
Oh, thank you.
And that's the typical weather for, indeed, Northumberland in July. Hayley, how can people get in touch with your good self? Can you be reached via all the usual social networking media forms? And do you have a website and so on?
Yes, so my website is hayleymckay.co.uk. And I post a lot of stuff on my Facebook music page. But yes, I'm on everything. I'd love to do a gig up at Lincoln Uni if ever you do. Do you do much music there?
Well, yes, you know, the engine shed.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. In fact, you know, we've been gigging live this evening with over sort of 40 people in the studio alone. But you know, so yeah,
amazing.
Hayley, we will get that sorted. Hayley McKay will be coming to Lincoln. It's very exciting, isn't it? Really? Because let's face it, after you've done the godforsaken beach in Northumberland, no. There's only one place you can go through. Hayley, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on your debut for the Midweek Drive today? Has it been okay for you?
Yeah, fantastic.
Good.
Thank
so
you
will
much.
You be kind enough to return?
Yes, of course.
Excellent!
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true. Queen of New York City. When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drums they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. That bed. You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're ours, I pray God it's our love. The boys of the NYPD chorus still singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
could have been someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing "Go Away, Babe."
And I'm sure they will be and continue to do so long until the 21st century. Online now, a young lady who consistently said, "We want to have another Bake Off, we must have another Bake Off." Sadly, she graduated before we could actually get round to having a second Bake Off. Emma Tinson, welcome to the official Bake Off exercise and scenario that has basically been keeping, hopefully, our listener mildly entertained, together with the wonderful choral sounds of the University of Lincoln, on this, our final Wednesday show for 2016.
Oh, hello. Thank you for inviting me on to such a special episode.
Well, we feel it's only right for some of our top graduates from the School of English and Journalism to never say never when it comes back to the School of English and Media. Isn't that right, Jason?
Absolutely.
Exactly. So, Sue, would you like to explain who is in the studio to Emma Tinson? And hopefully, if Linus is listening, he'll be able to actually resuscitate all sorts of things as well.
Gosh, Emma, you know me. I'm a bit like Dory, short-term memory loss.
Oh, no.
So I'm looking at a sea of smiling faces.
We have
some
got
of whom I know, but some of them
In fact, Ben, what sort of social media should she go to see some of the photos that are already online, thanks to your good self?
Oh, go on to at SirenFM on Twitter. We've got a medley of photos and videos for you to enjoy.
All from the last 90 minutes.
Fabulous. Yeah, almost a medley.
Exactly. Almost as much fun as interviewing elves and sort of things. So as well as Ben Lewis, we have David J. Howe and Sam Stone. Sam always says, much as Natasha and Hannah, and indeed Tessa, try to set up Studio 1B for the recording. Somehow, the standard that Emma Tinson set, it's still up there, isn't it, really?
Don't, you know? Don't get us in trouble now.
Still up there.
But yes, Emma, we miss you.
Oh, I miss you too.
The Tinson factor.
Precisely. Linda Hewitt is, of course, an ace chef. And share with us some of the good things you've done, Linda, over the sort of wonder. I mean, you've done lots of good things, but judging and cook.
Well, we were talking to Hayley a moment ago. Mm. She was in the Isle of Man. Mm. I was there for the Isle of Man Food and Drink Festival, working with Robinson's. Mm. I've done lots and lots with the WI and a number of other rather prestigious food events up and down the country, including the Queen's Backyard at Sandringham.
Ooh,
As William Sitwell, who is the author of the book that the first prize winner receives today, has actually said, not when commenting about the tweets that were there, oh, it's a bit of a shocking sort of line, Lisa, but it's William being William. It's naughty Linda.
We have I couldn't possibly comment.
Professor Jason Whittaker in the calendar with yourself, of course, Emma. Great stuff. It was sent in the post to you yesterday. The Snart Sisters, Tessa and Lois.
Yay!
Tessa, misses it. Martina Vieca doesn't have a clue who Emma Tinson is. Why would she? She's just joined us here. It's okay. Hannah Brown and Natasha Armstrong, who's currently enjoying preparing for her dissertation.
Yes. How have you fit this many people into one room?
Because we can. Because David's wearing his special TARDIS T-shirt, and we've actually got into the room through David J. Howe's chest. On that
dimensionally transcendental.
Let's move to Emma. Are you ready to have the winning entries? Because we've gone through the first thing. It's time to reveal who will be the recipient of the superlative Eggs or Anarchy, the remarkable story of the man who tasked with the impossible to feed a nation at war, written by William Sitwell, and a few other goodies as well, including an official part of headwear gear that you can actually wear, which has your good self emblazoned upon it, Emma.
Oh, fabulous.
Yes. Take it away, please, Ben.
Okay, so am I going into third, second, or first,
please.
Or shall I just go third straight away?
We'll go third straight away, please.
Okay, right, in third place, we have fairy cakes.
It's fairy cakes.
Of the glitter kind.
Ah, and who is that?
That would be Siren FM's junior reporter, little Bridget Royce.
Bridget Royce, well done. Aww. Couldn't be in the studio today because she had to go to bed. It is after 6 o'clock after all.
Well done.
There must be a quick mention there, although she's not here to receive the accolade personally. There was a little surprise when we cut into those. They had a jammy centre. And actually, the jammy centre, Bridget did indeed, she helped me pick the fruit and she actually made the jam.
Wow. Well, excellent. And they were very tasty. Yeah.
So everybody's a winner, clearly, but let's move on, please.
Number two.
Okay, so is this between the starts now? Is this?
It's the starts.
Oh, no.
Versus the Royces.
Starts and Sue. Okay.
Exactly. Smart Sisters versus.
Okay.
There'll be tears. There'll be tears.
In second place, we have the Green Cupcakes.
Yeah, that's
so that's the Snarts. Which means our winner is Sue. With the Christmas cake.
And what was William Sidwell's comments on Twitter about one of the things? Because
he'd wanted the stars. He wanted Hannah's stars.
Yeah. Hannah would have been the choice of William Sidwell. So it goes. Congratulations, Sue. Well done.
Thank you very much.
I know after the insults you've had to put up with from William Sidwell over the years, you'd be delighted to actually read his book.
I'm sure he'll be delighted that his book is gracing my bookcase.
Et cetera. And splendid stuff as well. Right, time is moving on. So, Sue, would you like to ask those last two questions to Emma Tinson, please?
Emma, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed, as always.
Oh, and will you be coming back to see us again sometime soon?
Of course I will.
Wonderful. Have a very happy Christmas, Emma.
You too, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Bye. Bye.
Happy Christmas.
Gaudete, Christus est natus. Te gaudete Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgin Dei gaudete. Deus homus factus est natura mirante, mundus remus factus est a Christo regnante. Gaudete Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgin Dei gaudete. Ezechielis porta clausa petrecito, unde lux est ota salus invenito. Gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgin Dei gaudete. Ego nostra consio sala jam illustro, benedicat Domino sala regi nostro. Gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgin Dei gaudete. Gaudete, Christus est natus, ex Maria Virgin Dei gaudete.
We send out for oxygen and actually just prepare for one little moment of magic, which goes...
Katie Dorr, the best travelling companion any dimensionally transcendental police box could ever wish for.
There you are, you see. Katie Dorr, member of the choir and a TARDIS person.
Phil Leonis, welcome to the programme. Have you got anything you'd like to share with the University of Lincoln Choir?
Well, the first thing I'd like to share is that I'm not Katie Dorr, so don't be disappointed after being introduced as such. And I'm glad you mentioned oxygen, because I'm very concerned with that amount of people in the booth that you've run out of oxygen long ago. So maybe we'll cut this short so everybody can get out. But I'm glad to be here. The choral inserts have been amazing. If what I read is true, these were produced by the great Ed Wellman.
What you read is indeed true.
And, well, not all of what I read is true, because, believe me, I've been keeping track of the running order that you sent me on today's show, and that was a work of fiction. It's been much different than that, but it's been delightful, and indeed, it's just been a wonderful Christmas festivity for me since getting up at 5:45 this morning to prepare for the breakfast program at the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, which I emceed. I decorated and emceed it, and it's terrific being part of an organization in its 91st year now, because there's so much history to look back on. In fact, I was curious about how they had celebrated the holidays on this day in history in the past, because like the Midweek Drive, this was our last program of 2016. So I looked back through the record books, and I looked back 80 years ago to 1936 to see what was going on this day and how they celebrated. And apparently they celebrated by discussing foreign trade. That was quite festive sounding. And I was confused. It was all people from like foreign trade commissions of different countries, and that's all they talked about. It was the most dry program. And I went, well, maybe in the 1930s they hadn't invented Christmas yet. I didn't know. I'm no historian. And it turns out that back then the Breakfast Club was year-round. They met 52 weeks a year. So then I flipped forward and I looked at what went on for Christmas. And that program, because, you know, I'm producing this year's Christmas program. I want to know what I have to live up to. And the Christmas program 80 years ago, they invited children not usually allowed to the Breakfast Club, but they invited children. They were welcome. And the keynote speech was for the children, something called Future Leaders of Business, presented by the head of some bank. Kids, gather around the Christmas tree. It's time for that special holiday tradition where you learn about banking. But what was really cool was that the entertainment that day and giving out candy to the kids and everything were none other than Little Rascal star Jackie Cooper, who would, of course, become Perry White in the Superman movies, and the legendary Mickey Rooney. They were the entertainers who were entertaining the kids that day. Phil, so I was following in some fun footsteps.
You've encapsulated all sorts of things, but I think we need to let the choir go, otherwise we will be collapsing, etc. Quite a round of applause for everybody, etc. Give yourselves a round of applause.
They're not going to do one more? They can't do one more?
No! It's all wrapped because we've got to have your thoughts on the cakes and various other bits and pieces. Quite
no, we don't. No, we don't. I'm done. I want another number.
Ed, how you, can they work through one more
we
number?
Can do,
are you sure for this?
We can do Infant Holy.
Okay, Infant Holy, take it away. And then they will be leaving, Phil, because other shows will follow. Carry on.
Okay. I'm just being greedy.
Infant holy, for his bed our cattle stole. Oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swift are winging, angels singing, Noel's ringing, tidings.
Go now, Phil.
They are excused.
And so one fantastic University of Lincoln choir head off into the vanguard. Ed, we'll have a few words with your good self. Yes, guys, you can go. Thank you for that. Brilliant. It's sensational. I feel moved almost beyond words, but still, life continues. Phil, anything else you'd like to sort of share with us, such as the whole cake-off scenario and indeed the cakes which you can see online? How can Phil see the cakes online, please, Ben?
It's Siren Online on Twitter.
On Twitter. That's the sort of magical thing that's actually there. So, anyway, Phil, the floor is yours for a few moments.
Well,
at least.
I always have trouble with the bake-off. And it's very personal and it's a sad thing. But I was always, you know, I was always the kid when I would watch movies and there would be a movie where they, you know, discovered a previously unknown disease or they finally diagnosed a disease. And I would always be in the audience convinced that I had that disease. Like, I was that empathic, which was what was going on with the movie. And so still like that, when you do the Bake Off show, pretty soon the hunger is on me like a fever. It's not a pretty sight. So they all sounded too amazing, and I honestly, I resent you for it. All I'm going to say. But if you can promise that you'll have a bake-off the next time I visit, regardless of when it is, I mean, what's better than like early May for a bake-off, then that'll cheer me up a little bit.
What do you think, Linda? An early May bake-off for a Los Angeles correspondent?
Absolutely, yeah. A seasonal themed thing then? Yeah, absolutely.
Would you like to present Sue with her official cap of glory, the triumphant hat of the Midweek Drive,
in which she
can actually wear emblazoned upon her person Midweek Drivettes from shows past and present, etc. So she always feels as though the Midweek Drivette team will be with her. You know, the Snarts, the Timpsons, etc. They're all there in full force, as well as, obviously, Jane, Chief Executive Officer of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society. What better person to wear upon your head on a regular basis, Sue?
Tip-top hat for a tip-top bake.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely not. I can't say it's seasonal, though.
I'm sure putting a little tinsel on it will make it a little more.
Always the way forward.
Unless you're going to be an extra on some kind of snow patrol.
I don't know about that.
Very effective.
Marvellous.
There.
I am a crowned.
Congratulations. Round of applause.
And so, with literally seconds to go, would you like a thought of the universe, Phil, or do you want to actually speak to any of the assembled team? The team, of course, being Professor Jason Whittaker, Linda Hewitt, Sam Stone, David J. Howe, Sue Royce, Natasha Armstrong, Hannah Brown, Martina Vieca, Tessa Snart, Lois Snart, Ed Wellman, and indeed the wonderful Ryan Jones and Ben Lewis. Who do you want to go to?
Well, the easy way out would be the thought from the universe, because that way I don't have to leave anyone out. But instead, how about this? A lightning round where we go around the room and everyone in one word, surmises their favorite part of the holidays.
Nice one. Ben.
What's the question, sorry?
One word. Favorite part of the holidays, Ben.
We must come back to Ben. Start the other side. Okay. Ryan first.
Ryan.
Intoxication.
Sue.
It's got to be singing.
Ed.
I'll say music then. Christmas music. That's two words.
Natasha.
Games.
Jason.
I can't think of one word. Crisp sunshine on a Christmas day.
Hannah.
Family.
Martina.
Presents.
Tessa.
Sparkle.
Lois.
Food.
Linda.
Oranges.
Sam.
Cooking.
David.
Love.
Tweeter Ben.
It's got to be the presents, isn't it?
Yay!
Does that help, Phil?
Wait, no one wants my word?
Well, go on, Phil. What's your word?
My word is friendship, and that's the reason that, for me, the midweek drive is Christmas year-round.
Oh, well done.
Boom, drops mic.
Extraordinarily wonderful, I feel. Almost moved beyond words. The cheque will be in the post, but obviously the exchange rates being what they are, I don't know what's going to happen these days. It's been a fabulous show. Great things are coming up later on this evening as far as Siren is actually concerned as ever. In fact, Ryan, what's up next?
It will be Michael Barwick.
Michael's Musical Madness, to be precise, followed by Word Perfect, which has also featured in the past Jason Whittaker, amongst others. Oh, wonderful.
It has.
The Blake Man.
Sensational.
Thanks to Camo from Nashville, Anna Lewis, of course, from Jersey, Junie Johnson, and William Coles, and Hayley McKay, and Emma Tinson, and Phil Leonis, and the aforementioned squads that we've already mentioned. If you want to hear their names once again, you can actually play the podcast back. It'll all work through for that part of it. And, of course, the University of Lincoln Choir. Round of applause for Ed and his fantastic sensational. Some of us will be back tomorrow morning for the Midweek Drive morning edition, the morning after show, and that's going to be the morning after I've done a production on the Scone Tapes and we've had a Stone Tapes Christmas party.
That's very true.
It's going to be a tough call.
It's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it.
Exactly. So I just thank God I marked the first year public relations essays. That's the important
Anything
thing.
Could happen.
If you have been tuned into to the Midweek Drive, Phil, actually have a splendid holiday season to yourself, Lily, and the rest of the team, Chilpack Hollywood, etc. You obviously, Chilpack Hollywood continues through the break, I gather.
Yes, we'll be pre-recording a couple of episodes this weekend, but yes, you can find your friends in podcasting changing the way you listen to the internet all the way through the new year.
Excellent. And next Midweek Drive will be second week in January, as far as Wednesdays are actually concerned. That's a wrap. So, keep on keeping on. All the other sort of messages have actually been sent. Can we all say, not bye-bye, but I think... happy holidays. Let's keep it nice and neutral from that perspective.
Very American.
You know, all sorts of things can open up into all sorts of scenarios there. So after three, please. A one, a two, a three.
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays!